Chapter 5, An Awakening. He's in a fighter. Though he's never been in one before, the controls are so familiar that he pilots it without even thinking. The noise of the hyperdrive is bone-rattling through his helmet, and the stars are just streaks of light through his visor. In his ear, the gunner chatters away. He's never liked this part, the weight of their flight squeezing down on his chest, the ever-present fear that this is the time he'll drop into normal space and hit an asteroid or a planet, or get caught in the gravity well of a star. At least, he thinks grimly, any of those would be a quick death. The nav console beeps at him and he shakes himself. He's not usually this morbid. He's a fighter. He flies, he shoots, he goes home. No room for speculation in between. "Dropping now," he hears himself say. His voice is gravelly with disuse. It's been a long flight. "Cut the radio chatter, 52. "Aye," his gunner replies and falls silent. He reaches out and pulls the lever home, and the hyperdrive dies with a whine as the world comes into focus around them. The ship rattles and shakes like it's going to come apart, and the engine's distinct shriek of complaint can be heard inside the cabin in spite of the insulation. Hunk of junk, he thinks, although not without some fondness. Others wink into being nearby. "Sound off," someone barks. "Captain," he thinks. Other voices chime in with familiar numbers. 93 reporting, he says. 52 and I are in position. He taps in the new coordinates and brings his fighter around as they finish the sound off. The controls respond like they're an extension of him, and he bares his teeth in a savage grin at the familiar rising excitement that swells in his gut. The anticipation before the fight. On his screen, the target comes into view. Strange, he thinks. That blue-green world looks familiar, although he's never been this far to the galactic north before. Or maybe he has. Maybe it was only 2 standard months ago that he was here watching the planet rush toward him. An odd kind of understanding dawns on him. And, horrified, he shakes his head violently, as if the movement will dislodge the errant thought. "Get out," he snarls. "Get out, get out!" Ben sits bolt upright with a gasp. He is clammy with sweat, his hands fisted in the sheets. Beside him, Poe stirs, disturbed, reaching out to him unthinkingly. It was so real, so vivid. He scrubs at his face with his hands. He was there in hyperspace, and then inside the system and looking at that planet through his view screen. The planet, he thinks. This planet. "What's wrong?" Poe props himself up on his elbow and rubs at his eyes. "Bad dream?" "No," Ben says shortly. He scrambles out of bed and fumbles blindly for his clothing, discarded next to the bed. I have to find Luke." He yanks on his boots and his coat and stumbles out into the hall. Behind him, Poe makes muffled noises of confusion. He ignores them. Luke lives in a small building on the edge of the temple grounds, barely more than a single room with a bed. Ben has been there once. It's on the other side of the grounds from where he and Poe sleep, almost hidden by the craggy rock formations. He suspects Luke built it somewhere purposely difficult to access, easy to defend. Perhaps from force of habit, perhaps because he suspected an unfriendly future to come. Now Ben curses Luke's paranoia as he looks out into the dark. He'll risk turning an ankle at the very least. He heads down the trail nevertheless, driven by adrenaline, and somehow he reaches Luke's hut without falling. Staring at the door, Ben feels a sudden pang of uncertainty. The farther he gets from his bed, the faster the memory of the dream dissipates, like smoke in the air, leaving him feeling foolish and a little cold in the sobering night. Maybe he ought to go back. He hesitates, his hand raised to knock, and then steps back. It was surely nothing, just a dream. As he turns to leave, the door opens. Ben, Luke says from the doorway. He's half-dressed, his hair in disarray, and his beard wild. But the most striking thing is the way his eyes fix on Ben, like he can see into his head, and Ben has the most curious idea that Luke is reading his thoughts that way, rifling through them and discarding them so quickly that a moment later he is done. Then he realizes it's not so curious. Jedi can read minds. The thought makes him shiver. I thought it was you. You heard me? He hadn't been quiet in his mad dash, to be sure. I felt you coming. Luke begins to do up the ties on his shirt. What is it, one of the children? He didn't see anything, Ben thinks incredulously. He looked into my mind and didn't see it. It's nothing, he says eventually. Just bad dreams. I'm sorry to wake you. Luke looks at him sharply. Bad dreams that drove you all the way out here in the middle of the night? Yes, well, I guess it felt so real. I don't know why I came. He sighs, regretting his haste now. I used to have night terrors. It was like I was trapped in them. I couldn't wake up. This reminded me of them, and I suppose I reacted without thinking. Come inside, Luke says. He steps aside. Sit down, please. Ben sits in the single chair. Luke sits across from him on the edge of the bed. He looks somber, or maybe just tired. Tell me exactly what you dreamed. The strangest thing is that it's slipping away even as Ben tries to recall it. There was a ship, he says. I think I was inside a ship, a smallish one with a... He gestures with his hand. The word escapes him. All he remembers is the sound, the clanking of the engine, the stars, the planet. The planet! He stands up abruptly. Luke looks up at him. He's smaller in his regular clothes, no robe to disguise the slightness of his figure, and a worried frown wrinkles his forehead. There's no serenity in his gaze, no calm assuredness. Dread creeps over Ben. It's them, he says. The First Order. They're coming here, to Hosnian Prime. Do you know how to activate the shield? Yes, Ben says, hurrying after Luke. The man moves like someone twice his size when he's motivated. Ben feels like a boy stumbling along in his wake. Where is it? Behind the armory. There's a small building that houses the generators. You'll have to turn both of them on before you activate it, or else it'll burn out. Luke holds out a key. Take this. Get your weapon from the armory and meet me outside the creche. Hurry! Ben leaves him at the entrance to the main building and heads toward the shield room. It's not far, but every step feels like it's one step too many. When at last he reaches it and fits the key into the door, the klaxons sound and he lifts his head. They'll hear it, he thinks. Inside the shield room, there's a series of runner lights along the ceiling which illuminate the generators sharply. They're not a familiar build, but Ben has always had a good intuitive sense for machines, and he can't afford to hesitate now. He kneels behind the first one and finds the control panel. It takes him a few minutes of precious time to figure out how to turn it on, but once awakened, the great machine rumbles to life without any trouble, and Ben gets to work on the second. Before he can activate the shield itself, he hears a sound like the scream of a dying animal, and the ground shudders abruptly. He swears. They're firing on the temple. There are younglings inside, children who are barely out of infancy. Poe is in there. He grips the shield lever, his hands shaking. Silence falls as he raises the lever. Outside, the shield holds strong against the fighters. They're strange, unwieldy ships that look built for flight through frictionless space rather than planetary atmospheres. As Ben watches, they come together in formation, and another larger ship descends between them to the temple grounds. That one he recognizes. It's a military transport ship. Inside are foot soldiers, whom the shield will do nothing to turn away. He makes his way back along the wall and heads toward the creche where Luke waits. Along the way, he sees several young Jedi in the halls, those who aren't knights yet in their own right, but who are skilled enough to be of use in combat. It strikes him as he passes one who looks barely 15, whose lightsaber hilt hangs from his belt and smacks against his leg as he runs, that they are indeed training children to be soldiers, whether or not Leia tells herself otherwise. "Luke," he calls when he finally reaches the creche, the long open hall where the youngest trainees sleep. Luke kneels among the younglings, and when he hears Ben, he rises, turning. "Stay here," he says to Ben. "There's only one entrance. Guard it." "Where are you going?" Ben steps toward him. Luke's face is pinched with exhaustion now, and he shakes his head. "There are other things I need to protect. Information the First Order cannot get its hands on. I must destroy it before they find it." "Information that's more important than these children?" Ben demands. "Keep your voice down," Luke says evenly, putting a hand on his shoulder. "You can do this. I trust you. I have sent for Commander Dameron to join you, and I will return as soon as I've done what I must. The Hosnian military will arrive soon. You need only keep the younglings here until then." "And what if the Order finds us? I'll be no match against trained soldiers." Ben can't deny that he's panicking now, his chest tight with it. "They won't." Luke presses a lightsaber hilt into his hand. "But if they do, you remember your lessons and fight like your life and the lives of these children depend on it." Ben sits among the younglings when Luke leaves. They're mostly quiet because he's told them they must be. They range in age from 3 to 10. Of the youngest, only one is crying, great heaving breaths that she's muffling in the shoulder of some older child, her little hands balled into fists. Among them he spots Finn, who clambers over to sit next to him almost immediately, followed by a small girl child with mousy brown hair. "This is my friend Rey," says Finn. Standing, he's only a little taller than Ben. The girl barely comes up to his shoulder. Her eyes are wet with unshed tears, and her mouth is set in a stubborn line. Finn grabs her hand. "She's the best at everything." "My name is Ben," he says, holding out a hand. "Come sit down." They crowd around him, and it seems to embolden the other children to come closer. "We're being attacked," Finn asserts solemnly. "That's right." Ben clips the lightsaber to his belt and rests his palms on his knees. "Are we gonna fight?" He leans forward. "No," Ben tells him. "We're going to meditate." There's a chorus of mumbles and sighs, and the children rearrange themselves into cross-legged positions, for the most part, except the crying girl and her friend. She lifts her head, though, her sobs dying down into sniffles. Ben looks around the room. "Would someone like to lead, please?" Ben lifts his head, hearing a noise in the corridor, and gets to his feet. Finn opens his eyes, and Ben puts a finger to his lips, and he nods eagerly. The girl next to him, Rey, watches him steadily. He turns away and goes to the door. He can hear voices in the corridor, indistinct and mechanic, but he can't make out what they're saying. His heart pounds and he unhooks the lightsaber from his belt. He doesn't think, all things considered, that he will be any barrier at all between the enemy soldiers and the children. The footsteps pass, and Ben lets out a breath. He returns to the children and gets them all to their feet. The hall is long and wide, a communal shower through the door at one end and rows of double beds along the wall. Out in the open, they're vulnerable, Ben thinks, and they can't move the beds to create a barrier. The most defensible place to hide is in the shower room. Finn, he says, bending over. The boy looks up at him. I need you to bring them into the shower room and close the door. Make sure you don't make any noise. Aren't you coming in with us? Finn asks. I'm going to stay out here, Ben says. Don't worry, I'll be just outside if you get scared. I won't, Finn asserts. And if anyone else does, Ray and I can keep them quiet. Maybe just comfort them, Ben suggests. As he watches, Finn whispers something in Ray's ear, and she nods and they separate, going to each group of younglings and giving them instructions. They troop into the shower room in sets of two and three. Ben stays until they're all inside before he goes back to the creche's main entrance. Outside in the corridor, it's quiet, but it doesn't stay that way for long. Ben makes a quick foray to one end of the hall and is almost spotted by three soldiers in head-to-toe white armor. He ducks back out of sight and rushes back to the doorway, his heart hammering in his chest. He is in no way ready for this. He takes a deep breath and searches for some kind of reassurance inside himself, some calm place, but finds nothing. Too soon, he hears another set of soldiers coming down the hall from the left, and he steps back through the door and shuts it. He presses himself against the wall and listens to them approach. They pause at the door. No one's checked this one off, one of them says through the filter in his helmet. Check it off, says another one. I'll take a look. Probably another damned storage closet. The door swings open. Behind it, Ben holds his breath. Not a storage closet, the soldier asserts. This place is huge. Looks like the kids sleep here. Cover me, I'm going in. Leave, Ben thinks frantically. There's nothing here. Go, go. Look somewhere else. Looks empty, someone else says. Just mark it. I don't know, the first soldier says doubtfully. We've got the rest of this floor to cover, says a third voice. Are you going in or not? If so, get on with it. Nah. Wait. There's silence. Ben grips his lightsaber hilt so tightly his fingers are losing their feeling. There's a door down at the end there. Better check that out. Ben thumbs the lightsaber on and swings it just as the first soldier comes around the door with his blaster up. He fires twice, and Ben blocks the shots unthinkingly, parries, and then thrusts straight at the soldier's breastplate. The lightsaber punches through the metal easily, and the man cries out and stumbles back, still shooting, his bolts going wide. The second and third soldiers are upon him immediately, and it's all Ben can do to keep from being shot. He backs up as they advance, saber swinging in tight arcs. Luke's voice in his head is saying, "Don't be where your opponent is aiming." And it's completely unhelpful. He is where they are aiming. But somehow, miraculously, he isn't dead. A blaster bolt grazes his shoulder and he cries out, his concentration broken. And in a panic, he reaches down inside himself to the power he knows lies waiting and draws it up through his hand and throws it toward them. Clumsy and unfocused. Both soldiers rock back as if hit by something physical. As he's bringing his lightsaber up to press his advantage, a familiar voice rings out, "Get down!" Two shots and both of the soldiers crumple. Poe! Ben lowers the saber and straightens. Poe grabs his arm. It's not safe on this floor. We need to get out. By the Maker, you left, and then I heard the klaxons, the TIE fighters. Are you okay?
I'm fine. Ben grips Poe's hand. We can't leave. The children are in here.
The younglings?
Poe looks around and spots the door.
Luke left you in here with the younglings. I'm going to kill him.
Please don't, Ben says. He's a Jedi warrior, and we need him to stay alive.
The hell we do, Poe growls. What was he thinking?
We should bring the other soldier inside and close the door, Ben begins, and then he breaks off because the third soldier is gone.
Where is he?
Poe holds up his hand.
Stay here.
He disappears into the hall, and Ben hears his blaster go off, and when he reappears, he's dragging the body.
He called for backup, Poe says. They know where we are. We can't leave. It's too dangerous to try.
Poe takes a second blaster off one of the bodies and holsters it.
We'll stay here and fight.
He takes a third one and hands it to Ben, who shakes his head.
I don't need it.
You can't fight with that thing, Poe says, and Ben hefts the lightsaber.
I can and I will. I'm a terrible shot. It's this or nothing.
Poe shakes his head.
I am going to kill him and Leia, he mutters.
Fine, stay behind me. He closes the door and takes up position on one side. Ben props himself against the wall behind him, eyes fixed on the nape of Poe's neck, where his curls stick to his skin above the collar of his jacket. This time, there are more soldiers. They shoulder the door open, and Poe takes out the first, the second, and shoots the third in the arm before two of them get through at the same time and force him back. Ben corners one of them and kills him easily, a thrust through his breastplate into the heart. He watches the soldier with a kind of sickening clarity, but there are more soldiers, and there isn't time to think about what he's just done. He fights side by side with Poe until the last soldier is down, and then he lowers his lightsaber, panting, looks around at the carnage, and promptly doubles over and empties his stomach.
Hey, Poe rubs his back. Okay, we gotta move these bodies into the hall. More troopers are probably on their way, and it might slow them down.
You want to... Ben's stomach heaves again, and he squeezes his eyes shut.
Yeah, think you can help?
No. Ben shudders.
Yes, yeah, I can help. Let's get moving.
Together they drag the dead soldiers into the hall until Ben tries to move one of them and a groan issues forth from the helmet. He leaps back.
He's alive.
Leave him. Poe lifts his head. They're coming. You hear them? He hears the tromp of boots in the distance.
I hear them.
They take up their places again and wait with bated breath. Outside the door, the boots stop, and there's a rumble of voices and the sound of bodies being dragged away. Ben swallows. When the door finally swings open, Poe almost shoots the first soldier who comes through before he realizes it's not a trooper. It's a man dressed in green fatigues with the red patch of the Hosnian Prime Military on his breast.
Lower your weapon, he barks.
Poe lowers the blaster slowly to the ground and raises his hands.
I'm Commander Poe Dameron of the New Republic Navy, he says, and the soldier eyes him warily.
Another man appears in the doorway, blaster trained on the ground, wearing a stripe that identifies him as an officer.
State your number, he snaps,
and Poe rattles something off that Ben doesn't follow.
Who's this with you?
Poe glances back at him and hesitates. Ben gives a minute shake of his head. If he's recognized, so be it, but he's not going to give himself away by choice. If, as Leia suspected, there are spies among them, It isn't safe for anyone to know his whereabouts.
This is Ben, says Poe. He's a trainee.
A Jedi? The officer shakes his head. He motions for the first man to stand down.
You two are crazy, holding yourself up in this room. You should have headed for the forest.
The younglings are in here. Ben steps forward. Can you provide a passage to safety for them?
The officer turns to him.
You've got children in here?
Ben points to the door wordlessly. The younglings are shaken but unharmed. There are a great deal more tears, and even Finn looks frightened as the soldiers surround them and lead them away.
There's a fighter for you if you want it, Commander, says the officer. We would be grateful for your assistance in the pursuit.
Thank you. Poe holsters his blaster. Before he can say anything else, he's interrupted by a commotion at the end of the hall, and Ben spots Luke making his way through the soldiers. He touches Rey's head and pauses to murmur a few words to her.
I'd like to speak with Master Luke first, Poe says.
You should go with them.
Ben turns. The soldier who'd first come upon them stands next to him.
I saw... You've never been in a battle before, have you?
No.
Ben looks away.
There's a military shuttle taking the children to a bunker outside the city. There's plenty of room on it.
I'm staying, Ben says. The soldier frowns. Don't get yourself killed.
You are not staying here, Ben. Luke butts in abruptly as the soldier leaves, having obviously overheard them. There's a ship with coordinates waiting for you in orbit. I'm afraid you're no longer safe here.
My training, Ben begins, but Luke waves his hand.
Certainly you would benefit from many more months of training, years even. But you are progressing quickly. Once we have relocated the temple, you may return for further training. For now, you have the skills to cope with your abilities.
He looks over to where Poe stands, talking with the officer, his attention obviously split, frequently looking over at the two of them.
Commander Dameron is a strong presence in the Force. In that way, perhaps, it's for the best you manifested so late. Too late to train as a full Jedi. You have something most Jedi never get.
What's that?
Ben frowns. The officer is leaving, and Poe is making his way over.
Come on, he says. This area is secure. There's a shuttle out there.
You go ahead, says Luke. He pulls Ben down into a brief hug. Good luck on your journey. May the Force be with you.
Ben straightens.
And with you, he says.
He holds out the lightsaber, but Luke closes his hand around it and presses it on him.
No, keep it. It's only a practice weapon, but I think it has served you well today.
I killed a man with it, Ben thinks, but he only nods and hangs it from his belt as he turns away. Poe takes him by the elbow and steers him down the hall. Groups of Hosnian soldiers stand at the junctures they pass and exchange greetings with Poe, who takes it in stride. It's strange to see him among other soldiers, a reminder of how much a part of his life this is. It was easy to forget when Ben only ever saw him during his downtime, or here, holed up in the temple.
Did he tell you where you're going? Poe asks, and Ben shakes his head.
He's numb with exhaustion, the adrenaline draining out of him rapidly, and he can't bring himself to wonder about it. Outside, the air is thick and cold, and the stifling smell of smoke hangs like a fog around them. The shield is still up, and the ruined bodies of the Order's ships lay strewn across the temple's field, and among the rubble of the buildings themselves. Fire billows from one of the buildings adjacent to the temple. Hosnian ships are lined up along the grounds, and soldiers are clustered at every major entrance.
This way, Poe says, leading him to a small, slick shuttle amidst the military ships.
Ben recognizes it as a droid-piloted ship. He climbs the ramp silently, pausing at the top to turn back and take one last look over the field.
"You'll have time to think about it later," Poe says.
He comes up the ramp, and Ben looks at him.
"What are you doing?"
"I'm coming with you," Poe says, as if it's obvious.
"No, you're not."
Ben puts a hand out to stop him from entering.
"You're going to help the Hosnian fleet track the TIE fighters back to the command ship."
Poe crosses his arms.
"They don't need my help. They're perfectly competent."
"They need your help more than I do," Ben says.
He almost misses the hurt that flashes over Poe's face. Startled, he lowers his hand.
"Look," Poe says, "I know this was just an arrangement for you. I know you didn't want a marriage, but I did, so for my sake, could you just let me care about you?"
Ben stares at him, the words registering slowly.
"You wanted to marry me?"
"Yes," Poe says, almost defensively. "I knew who you were, and I thought it would be a good union. You're a principled man, hardworking and well-respected, and, handsome. You were by far the best offer I'd had."
"Was I?" Ben says flatly.
He had never considered Poe's motives for marrying, never imagined that they had been any different than his own. It was obviously both hypocritical and illogical for him to be hurt by the idea that Poe had chosen him because he had no better options. He himself had chosen Poe for far more selfish reasons. He hadn't even imagined wanting to spend time with him. Now the thought of his casual choice makes his head spin with its unkindness. The idea that he had purposefully wanted to distance himself from a man who had accepted his proposal, hoping for a union of, if not love, some kind of mutual admiration.
"I know that you chose me because I'm a pilot and you hoped I would be away frequently," Poe says. "And that's all right. I suspected as much when I learned who you were. But marriage is about compromise, and I'm afraid I'm not always going to be so accommodating. I've had a very long night, and right now I need you to let me choose where I want to be. And if you need me to..."
He pauses, some inscrutable expression crossing his face.
"To stay out of your business, for the most part, I can do that, but not right now."
Ben feels something twist up in him as Poe brushes past, and he reaches out without thinking and grabs Poe's arm as he dials the ramp up.
"I love you,"
he blurts out, to his horror. Poe turns smoothly, slams him up against the wall of the ship, and kisses him. It's rough and bruising, and Ben pulls him closer a little desperately, his heart slamming against his ribs and his throat full of words he can't say. Poe pulls back, hands still in Ben's hair. He breaks out into a shy half-smile, and Ben has to close his eyes so he doesn't see the expression on Poe's face when he says, "I know."